You know, but the notion does come up of suffering. You know, suffering, is it something like in our society, does any popular movie strip be a mirror and reflect what's going on in our culture? Does it reflect sometimes things that we don't even speak, but we think of? How, you know, are we to avoid suffering? Well, if we were to avoid it completely, you know, it would, you know, we would also avoid growing. Because growing involves some kind of discomfort. No, but it doesn't tell us to be reckless and to go out seeking suffering or to needlessly accept it when it's a result of injustice or mistreatment or something along those lines. But suffering really does exist, sometimes to small degrees, sometimes to great degrees, and sometimes we just plain can't avoid it. And I have a little sore on my foot this morning, so shifting my weight back and forth more than I usually do. That hurts. But what we can see from what St. Paul is writing to the Romans is that there are ways to suffer. And when we are suffering, there are ways to deal with it. Ways to look at our attitude, to draw strength from the Lord, to know we are loved, and to evaluate it to make sure that this suffering is for something that is worthwhile. But we do suffer, and when it would really be helpful, suffering with God's help. With God's help as a strength to get us through it. The passage from Romans this morning, St. Paul is talking. He says, thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have access to the grace on which we stand. Now, whenever I read grace in one of our lessons that are assigned, my eyes just perk right up. That's weird that I say my ears perk up, because I love the concept of grace. It is so important. It is so necessary. Because grace is one of those things where God just looks at us and says, looks at you and says, I love you. You are precious. It is a gift, a pure gift of God's favor. Much in the same way that you see a child walking around with angelic features, say, wow, you really are precious, aren't you? You really are precious. You know, it's hard not to love a child, even when they misbehave. There's lots of reasons why that, but as a comedian Gallagher once said, yeah, God makes them so cute so you don't kill them when they do things like that. But there is something that draws us towards children and says, yes, you are precious. And they don't do anything to earn our love. We just give them our love. And that is the same idea of grace, the way God looks at us. We don't do anything to earn God's love. God just trusts. And along with that comes the strength and resilience from knowing we are loved. Several years ago, the company Forward Movement that puts out our Forward Day by Days, they developed this study called Renewal Works. And they're examining the spiritual lives of people in the Episcopal Church. And one of their findings was about how people, when they really deeply develop their prayer lives, that they're able to rely on God for strength. They can rely on strength, on God for strength in their daily lives. But which is, strength is a type of help. Especially when you're borrowing it from somebody else. You ever notice when you have a problem and suffering in some way, it's really helpful to have somebody else just to be with you. You know, just to say, like, I'm going through this. And the person makes sure that you're not going through it alone. But even more so with that, God actually gives us wisdom, gives us strength, gives us all these things to help to deal with our suffering. A few years ago when I had re-injured my back, and I was really in bad shape. Having come in on Sundays, and standing was very difficult for me, so I'd make it through our services and just really, really in a lot of pain. Eventually, a good friend referred me to a physical therapist who I went to, was able to, had an expertise that was outside of my own, and could give me a gift of help in my suffering. So person examines me and said, well, you have these muscles here that are very, very tight, and that's going to give you some issues, and you have some muscles over here and they're not really working at all, so that's going to give you some issues, and I'm going to give you some exercises for this and that. And so it's like, I was able to deal with my suffering because of somebody else's help. Well, God's help to us is much in the same way, except more so. I had to pay my physical therapist. No, with God, God's already paid the price. Jesus was the price that was paid. And we get the benefits of God's grace, love, favor, forgiveness. And when we still do suffer, suffering does come. And we have access to God's help through the grace in which we stand. The other aspect of suffering is important to keep in mind, particularly if you need to discern it. Make sure your suffering is something that is productive. Or it could be inevitable, or it could be something that's, just make sure it's not something that's kind of a destructive kind of suffering. So abuse, neglect, that sort of thing. But for St. Paul, when he was talking about boasting in his sufferings, and if he was somebody who was a Christian in a culture that was hostile to Christianity, so if he actually knew that there was something that he was working towards, there's a destination that he was moving towards. This is probably one of the most important things to bear in mind, because that destination for all of us is unity with God and life in the Trinity. And this is Trinity Sunday, so I mentioned that. But unity with God and the life of the Trinity, because God is Trinity. And what we've learned from the Gospel is that the Trinity is not a closed group. It's not like you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over here, and then wagging our fingers at the rest of us, or telling us what to do and not engaging. Actually, the real miracle of the Gospel is that because we have unity with Christ, that we are given unity with Christ, we are actually drawn up into the life of the Trinity. We are drawn up. So the love and affection and care that goes back and forth between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, given and received, is available to us as well. I believe this is one of the reasons why St. Paul is saying we can boast in our suffering, we can boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. It's a way of looking at God and Trinity, and imagine if you were to see the Trinity or stand in the presence of the Trinity in all of its fullness, we would probably be overwhelmed at first. Probably in a lot of ways would be overwhelmed. It could be a way of just looking at it and saying, wow, this is really something else. And I get to be a part of that. I get to be a part of this. It's such an amazing, so amazing a gift that we are given in life in the Trinity. Kind of one of those things where human beings can endure suffering and to put up with a lot. You know, when we know there is something on the other side of it. Now, I've heard from people who have gone through boot camp in the military, the ones that tend to do well and know that, yes, you're getting screamed at and a lot of physical training right now and do a lot of things. I know there's an end to this, and I know there is something on the other end, something that I want, something that's going to be helpful to me in my life. If I know that it's there, then I can do something. Of course, there are aspects in our world that are probably less so involved in, that generates a good deal of suffering and really with no end in sight. And I've heard one of the things that's going on now is what people call hustle culture. It's kind of just kind of keep going, work to the extent of neglecting family, neglecting church, neglecting other aspects. That's not the kind of suffering we're talking about. St. Paul is definitely somebody who suffered in his own life. There were times where he was wondering where this journey was. He knew where the journey was, where it was ending up. He was just wondering when he was going to go there. And what was that? Towards the end of his life, when he was sitting there and he was saying through some of these letters, I'm kind of torn at this moment. Because he was being very frank, he says, could die soon, or I could live. And he coined this phrase. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, if I die, I get to go and be with Christ. That is going to be incredible. I can die and go to be with Christ. All right, that's great. He says, but for your sake, I can stay here. For your sake, I stay here and I share the gospel and I share love and fellowship and still watch the church grow and be a part of that church growth. He says, so I really don't know what to do. To live is Christ, to die is gain. In the midst of his suffering, he found meaning and purpose. In the midst of his suffering, he saw his ultimate destination. He saw the grace and the strength in the moment right then and there. We are drawn up to this life in the Trinity. Probably the most important aspect of it is knowing you are loved. And especially if you're going through something that causes suffering. When there's suffering, one of the important things to know is that you are loved. Yesterday, I had a chance to spend some time with our bishop, part of a diocesan program, and a few of us here at St. Francis have been a part of. And she was just reflecting on her life as a social worker before she was ordained. She was reflecting on the children and how they develop and the work she did with them. She said one of the things that the research had pointed to children as they grow is that they really, in order to grow up well, they need to be loved. They need to know they are loved. So the research actually points out that children do best when there are at least four adults who are invested in their lives. Four adults who care about them, who are interested in their success. And that caring, that pouring out of love, is something that helps them develop and build resilience. So one of the things she did in her parish, which was in Indiana, one of the things she did was, in order to make a difference, she rallied her parish together and to go contact your local school and to be part of their mentoring program. Just so perhaps there may have been some children who didn't have the support they needed. They didn't have that support, and so the church itself is providing that support. The church itself of people who knew how much God loved them. Taking that love that was poured into them and in turn pouring it into children. Even as adults, we tend to do a lot better when we know someone is rooting for us. When we know somebody cares about us and loves us. This is why St. Paul is able to say, hope does not disappoint. He says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our. That's a great imagery, isn't it? But the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Right, I'm not going to do this completely, but I've got a glass of water here. You imagine what happens if you tip this in and it's going to pour out. See, there was a sponge there. That sponge was dry. Just pour this water out and just get that sponge soaked up. And so, a dry sponge is not really useful for much, is it? When a sponge tends to absorb water. Just like our hearts are meant to absorb love. What St. Paul recognized is because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. That a God who loves you, that a God who is rooting for you, and a God who wants you to be the best version of yourself. And yes, we do live in a world where there is suffering. We do live in a world as human beings. Things happen, you suffering. But it doesn't have to be a path to the dark side, as Master Yoda was fond of saying. Suffering does not have to be the end all or to create this massive evil. But we can have perseverance, which leads to character, which leads to hope, and have hope that does not disappoint. And whether the suffering is inevitable or not, whether it is, it's about to need to discern if it's productive or not, we can still pursue unity with God. because God has pursued unity with us. And all that entails, all the love of the Trinity, all of God's love, all of God's glory. And knowing that in this life, when we do suffer, we are not suffering alone. We're not suffering alone because we have help. We have access to the grace on which we stand, that favor, that gift that is just given to us. We have the love of God which has been poured into our hearts. Our hearts are meant to be filled with love. We have the love of God poured into our hearts. We have a God that helps us through this suffering because our ultimate destiny is unity with this God. So no, suffering is not going to have a last say. We are moving towards something. These are truly some wonderful gifts that we have. We truly have these gifts of health.